Mrajuhtuden.
Mrajuhtuden.
Welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program where I have candid conversations with guests about difficult but important Indigenous topics such as mental health, sobriety, recovery, and missing and murdered Indigenous people. These difficult topics need to be brought to the light, not only to educate, but to uplift our Indigenous relatives. Oyana for joining me. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. On this episode, I have Kyle Beauregard. Kyle lives in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. He is a Métis barber from Treaty 6 territory. Kyle will be celebrating 5 years of sobriety on December 5th. And on this episode, Kyle courageously shares his story for those still struggling. So guys, please help me welcome Kyle Beauregard. Hi, Kyle. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. Just so people can understand what's going on, I was trying to use my web-based recording system, CleanFeed, and we were having some technical difficulties. And I have this happen once in a while. So when that happens, I just go straight off of the phone and we call each other and I record it that way. So that's why Kyle is sounding like he's on the phone. So I appreciate your patience, Kyle.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to try to make this work. And I'm glad this is going to. So, yeah.
Awesome. So you were referred to me by Cole, who I interviewed before.
Yeah, he's one of my really close friends. You know, we've gotten very close over the years. We walk side by side in recovery. Yeah, he's just one of the funniest people I know. So when he had reached out to me and told me about you, at first I was a little nervous, but you know what? There is so many people struggling. There are always people like that need to hear a message. I know that many years ago, I was in a dark place and I needed to hear a message. And so I'm hoping that whatever I share today might reach out to someone that helps, and so that's why I'm here.
Wow, I really appreciate that, and thank you so much for having the courage to come on and share. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself so everybody can get to know you?
Yeah, for sure. My name is Kyle Beauregard. I live here in Edmonton, Alberta. I will be celebrating 5 years of recovery on December 5th this year. I am currently a part-time community support worker, and I work in an Indigenous organization that helps the hard to house homeless. We help the hard to house community population here. That can be challenging. I've been doing that for about 4 years now, and it has its days, but you know, overall, that job has really helped shape me into a much better person. That job, that company's name is Nigaman Housing Ventures, and it's a really great company. On the side, I am an aspiring barber, so I hustle and I work my butt off at the group home. And then whenever I can, whether it's day or night, I am taking clients and I'm working on my craft. And yeah, I just love it. So because the end goal is to, I just want to do hair. You know, I just want to make art and meet people and maybe even travel someday.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. In 5 years, congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's hard to believe sometimes too. I was sitting at a restaurant with my friends and I'm like, in 2 months, I'm going to be because in recovery, they say, you know, once you hit over 5 years, you're officially an old timer. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be an old timer here soon. So yeah, it feels, you know, looking back, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago when I was running away from a trap house. And, you know, it doesn't seem like that long ago that I was playing a trap house, barely getting into the detox center here, you know, and I was in such rough shape, but they could tell I needed help, and they even let me stay at the detox center here for a month while I waited to get into treatment. And that's unheard of, especially at the Alberta Health Services detox. Like, they only ever let you stay there for a week. So you can imagine how bad of shape I must have been in for them to make an exception for me. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, that must have been a pretty hard time and difficult time to go through, being in detox for a month.
Oh, you know what? No, that wasn't. That was, I honestly, I've never felt more grateful. I spent Christmas in detox, but after how many years I just spent in active addiction, you know, when Christmas or holidays, birthdays, whatever, you know, you didn't even know what day it was. So to feel safe, to finally feel like, okay, I actually want to walk, you know, the red road. I actually didn't know what the red road was at that time, but I knew that I didn't want to feel scared anymore. I wanted to be able to look in the mirror or take a photo and just remember who I used to be, because at that point I was a shell of a person. And it's just so crazy. I can't believe, like, I just hit a milestone. I recently just adopted a dog. You can hear him. He's sitting right beside me. His name is Duke. And it was hard not to feel emotional because I've gotten to such a place in my life where I'm financially stable. I'm emotionally stable, mentally stable enough to keep plants alive and look after a dog. You know, this would have been unheard of, like, from where I came from, like on the streets or just like in active addiction. So yeah, huge. To some it might not be that big, but to be able to look after dogs for me is mind blowing. So really proud of myself from that one.
Wow. Yeah. And you should be. And what you just said really blew my mind, because I didn't think of it like that. When you said you were in a month in detox, I was like, oh my God, that must have been crazy or tough and hard. But then you mentioned how you felt safe in there for once, you know, how it made you feel safe. And I had no inkling of that thought. You know, it's like one of those,
you know, and
stigmas, yeah. You know,
and you know, that's, I guess, but you know, when I was in detox, when there would be like guest speakers coming in to share their experience, drinks and hope, I would just listen to them and I'm like, wow, like, who are these people talking about, like, these great things? And like how they went from like hopeless, you know, from how I was feeling while listening to them, I had no idea what they were actually like on the outside world, but in that moment, they looked healthy, they looked happy, and I just wanted to look healthy again, and I just wanted to feel happy, and so that really, like, propelled me. I did have a lot of fear every step I took from the moment I was in detox. Every single step forward was brand new to me because I had never been sober since I came out at 19, and I went into detox at 33. So that's a long time. I was an alcoholic from 19 to about 30. Then my dad passed away, and he passed away from diabetes. And, you know, with already a really out of control alcohol problem, paired with a very traumatic event, I fell into a codependent, drug-fueled relationship, and I made myself believe that I, you know, was with someone that cared about me, that I cared about, but it was all false. And that relationship almost killed me, but it definitely helped me on my road to recovery because I knew what I did not want anymore after so many years of it. So that's why I was really grateful to be in detox, because I just spent an eternity, which it felt like, in hell. So, yeah.
Oh, man. You mentioned the codependent relationship, unhealthy relationship. I had a musical artist, Beatrice Deer, on here, and she mentioned that as well. And it brought me to the thought that is relatable to a lot of people, myself included, how we seek out the same people that we are, even though we're sick and doing things like drinking and, you know, doing drugs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We seek out that same person, and we're just fueling each other to, to oblivion if we had it, you know, if it went on that long. So to break free from a relationship like that is one of the toughest things that you could do, but it's necessary.
Oh, 100%. And unfortunately, I can't say that one day I woke up and I wanted it to be over. Like, don't get me wrong, I wanted it to be over a long time ago, but I got to such a point in my addiction that I had no self-esteem. I honestly looked like walking death, and I was scared to leave. So when you hear someone, even if they're still feeding you drugs, even if they're still telling you that they love you, but you're looking in the mirror and you're like, my body's falling apart and I look like crap. How can you say you love me when this is, I literally feel like I'm dying. And so I had a hard realization when I finally started to come, when the fog started to clear after I graduated treatment, that everything that I thought was real wasn't. And because I went into treatment thinking that, no, like, I love this person. We are ride or dies. You know, like, mm-hmm. We have been through thick and thin. And no, you come to a realization where it was just a toxic pairing, and they're both broken people coming together, and that's it. And so, it's kind of like cringeworthy looking back on it, but I hold on to that. You know, I don't ever want to let that go, because remembering that always helps me stay clean and sober today. You know, mm-hmm. I know exactly what could happen if I choose to, go back or start acting on, like, you know, old behaviors, whatever those might be.
A big saying is, I would never change anything, no matter how hard my life was back then. A lot of people say this, that they would not change anything because it made them the person that they are now, you know?
I mean, there are certain things that maybe I could do without, but overall, you know, it was a learning experience. And currently I have a brother on the streets. You know, I don't know where he is. I might bump into him from time to time walking around. But he's in the same boat that I was in. And there's no helping someone until they want help. And all I can do is just give him words of encouragement. And I do reach out. I try to get him to come to meetings with me. He doesn't really want to. And that's okay. You know, maybe, hopefully, he will someday. But right now, he's not ready. And yeah, I just hope, because the streets are rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I was interviewed myself on a different podcast yesterday, and that question came up like what would you say something? And that's the question that I asked as well. And you are absolutely right when you say you can't, you know, change them. You can't force them, you know, until they're ready. No. They're ready to do it. Mm-hmm. And they want to change their life to live a better life, you know, and that is absolutely true. People, what's very heart-wrenching is when people, family members or friends reach out to me and say, you know, because I have this podcast, and say, hey, can you reach out to my so-and-so, my brother, my cousin, whatever, they're going through a tough time. And I said, I'll try, but you know, I have to reiterate that I can't force anybody to, you know, I can't make their own decisions. They have to make their own change for themselves when they're ready.
Yeah. Like, and certain pressure might just drive a person further away, right?
Yeah.
So I gotta be almost careful. You know what how I try to support him from afar, because if he was like me, you know, I would get frustrated at anyone feeling sorry for me or telling me to get better, you know.
Oh, so, yeah. Yep. Make you even worse. Oh, yeah, I'll show you. No.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Who knows what's going on, right? So,
yeah.
Like in their mind at that time when you're just trying to reach out. So.
And sometimes the boundaries that you have to place for people like that, I mean, like even your family, like you said, it's the hardest thing that you have to do, but for your own health and mental health and your own livelihood, sometimes you have to put those boundaries down. I mean, you can love them for afar and support them when they do decide that they want to change, you know?
Yeah.
And kind of direct them in the way, if you can't, if you can't help them, give them somebody else's number that's in the recovery community.
Well, one of the greatest things that he did tell me recently was that he sees me, because we're obviously on Facebook and whatnot. But he sees who I've become from where I've been. And even though he is struggling now, he told me, I see you. You changed your whole life, and I'm so proud of you. And so I say thank you, but in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Just by living this way, it does inspire. And I'm not trying to sound like, I'm just all inspiring, but I've had people who are in my circle really tell me that they appreciate me because of just how I am living my life. And so it helps them along the way, and hopefully my brother as well. It's kind of like this weird thing, because it's just weird sometimes, you know, that walking the red road can be lonely and hard, but at the same time you're helping people, but you don't, you're like, am I really though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is lonely. It is lonely at first, you know, but then when you find all these people that are in the same, you know, trying to live a better life in the recovery community, sobriety community, there's people that'll jump up and help you if you need it in the middle of the night, you know. And,
oh yeah, 100%.
And that's amazing. And when you said people can see you, that's like that whole AA thing, attraction rather than promotion. But we're promoting it here. but you're totally right, though. You know, when people see that, wow, look at him now, look at him. He's got all these muscles now.
As the years go on, like when I first celebrated my first year, I had no problem posting like photos of what I looked like a year prior. But it's hard. It's getting harder to look back on those photos because I'm like, wow, I can't believe. You know, when I got into recovery, I remember I had a pair of jeans that were like size 28 waist. And now I'm like, you know, I'm 160, but size 32 waist, but still, like, that's, you know, 20 is pretty small. So there was the skin and bones. So, yeah.
Dang. No. Oh, that's your health coming back.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
Man. I was big. I was a bigger, you know, person. And then when I went to treatment, I started like working out and doing all the treatment things and waking up at freaking 5 a.m, getting up and doing yoga and stuff like that. And then I lost all this weight, right? And then I came home and then I started doing it at home for a little bit. And then slowly and slowly, I was like, I'm getting tired.
And you know what, though? Like, fitness is a journey. And some days, you know, some days I'm not going to lie. I ate half a cucumber before I talked to you and a half a bag of ketchup chips. I'm like, ugh, what am I doing? So, but you know what? I threw in a cucumber, so whatever.
Yeah,
you know, I don't always have the energy to go to the gym, so whatever.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tough thing sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was gung ho. I was gung ho right after treatment, and then you know, I just started going back to work and doing this podcast, you know, on the side, and I'm like, oh, I'm tired, you know. But then,
and if you don't mind me asking, how many years do you have?
I'm coming up on 3 now, so I'm not an old timer. Well,
no,
this time,
you're so young.
This time, this time around, this is time around. You know, it's like I was telling this person yesterday. I was a broken record, revolving door of drinking to excess, and then getting sober and trying to be sober for a while, and then falling off the wagon, and then doing it over again. And I was just like a broken record, you know, I couldn't keep it. This time around, I'm doing this podcast, you know, and it's really helping me. Every time I talk to somebody, every time I hear somebody's stories, I hear all the things that I can relate to and things that I didn't know. Like when you said that, in detox, you felt safe. I'm like, oh my God, you know, little things like that make me, realize how I'm teachable. You know, I'm learning new things from everybody. And doing this podcast has, you know, it's changed my life. This is the longest I've had, you know. I've had long stints of sobriety, but not like this long. So,
I'm definitely very proud of you. I are you in Alaska? You're in Alaska.
Yeah, I am. Anchorage.
Okay, like I would imagine, because my family is my mom's side from Northwest Territories. And, you know, being isolated so far up north, you know, it's hard to get sober because there's nothing to do. So kudos to you for creating this this digital environment and, you know, a community. If you ever do come to Edmonton, make sure that you reach out and we'll go to a meeting.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. for sure. No.
Yeah. Great. I mean, every person that I get that agrees to be on here is so inspiring to me, because I hear their story and I'm blown away, you know, at things that are so similar. I talked to somebody in New Zealand, in Greenland, and they're going through the exact same things for a lot of the part that we are, you know, no matter where you are. There's sobriety and there's recovery and there's trauma and there's mental health issues that people are battling. And I'm trying to, you know, just create kind of like a safe place for you, if you choose to, if you are ready to share your story, you can come on here and do it. And at the same time, I have listeners from all over the world that are listening, you know, and maybe they're getting inspired or, you know, passing it on to somebody, their family, you know.
I think that's great. You know, I would be very proud of myself, you know, if I was you, and I wish I could leave a footprint, sort of like how you are.
Well, you are, and you can, you know. I just did it out of my closet the first time, you know, and then so anybody could create content, and once we have everybody out there just yelling from the rooftops about sobriety and how they're living a better life, you know, maybe others can hear it.
No, that's true. Very true. Good for you.
So yeah, let's get back to you. What were the biggest challenges that you had when you decided to get sober?
Well, there's always a bunch of hurdles at first, right? Because, you know, you have been avoiding life for so long. So I had not, one of the biggest hurdles for myself was because I was so terrified of sober people. You know, my whole life I'd been surrounded by chaos. So one of those big hurdles was try to slowly, in a very, very uncomfortable way, just trying to accept myself and hopefully others accept me along the way as I got sober. Employment, I had not worked in 4.5 years. So I needed to focus on that.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Oh, no worries. I really appreciate what you're doing, and all the best of luck to you.
Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person on who is walking with us on this healing journey. This program is available as a podcast. You can hear this and many more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts or at anonymouseskimo.com. Join in the Anonymous Eskimo Project Mondays at 2 p.m. on 88.1 FM KOYA. Rosebud's number one voice of the Secheng-Hu Lakota, serving the Rosebud Sioux Tribe Reservation in South Dakota. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.